If a person were to ask me if I believed in God, I would start the reply by saying, define God. In fact, I'd also have to say, define believe. The same applies to the title of this address, Does Prayer Work? The quick and maybe obvious answer to us rational people is no, of course not. But what is meant by prayer? And more importantly, what is meant by work? If we mean the childish idea, dear God, please make me pass my exams. No, prayer is probably ineffective. But that is not the whole story. First, let me tell you what once happened to me. In 1992, there was a terrible accident on a ferry coming back to Ireland from Wales. A toilet in a cabin malfunctioned, and two children, a girl of 15 and a boy of 12, were gassed to death. Their little brother survived only because he had been upset and was taken into his parents' cabin next door. I found myself terribly affected by this. My daughter and son were each about 3 years younger than the children involved, and we often used that and other ferries. In other words, it could have been us. I was sleepless for days. Then one night, as I lay in bed trying to sleep, I said into the darkness, whoever is there, please send strength and peace to those poor parents. And please let me get to sleep. I was asleep almost immediately. So was that a prayer? Did it work? I think the answer to both parts of that question has to be yes, although I have no idea if the parents received the strength and the peaceful night I sent them. I still think of them occasionally and send them a good thought. It can't do any harm to them, and maybe I'm the better for it. Another story, and this one is not mine. I've stolen it from Carolyn Mace, who I mentioned earlier at the prayers. Her name is spelled M-Y-S-S, Carolyn Mace, who's an American writer about spiritual subjects. She tells a story about a car accident. A woman was badly injured by the accident, and the ambulance was called. This was on a very busy road and caused a long traffic jam. The injured woman was taken to hospital, and after a lot of treatment, she recovered. She reported that while she'd been unconscious in the damaged car, she had lifted out of her body and had been able to move back past the delayed cars. In most of them were people moaning about the delay. But in the fifth car back, she noticed a woman was sending energy to her. The woman was thinking or saying, please help whoever's injured, let them be all right. The injured woman looked at the license plate and somehow memorized the number. And a few months later, she was able to turn up on the driver's doorstep with a bouquet of flowers to thank her for praying for me. You can look this story up online and we'll quickly find the comments if this story is true. I don't see any reason to think it is untrue. It seems to me as likely to be true as not. But here in this church, we are meant to be rational, to use reason as the way to interpret the world. There are some times when reason doesn't give the best answers. The main one being, in my opinion, when we start with, but that doesn't seem reasonable. In other words, judging what is new by what we already think we know. I have had a scientific education and have worked in a field that believes in nothing but reason. I have seen the limitations of taking that approach. Because what we already know may not include the explanation for the strange fact we are now meeting. A person in 1600, if transported here and shown an electric light and its switch, would very quickly assume it was magic, or probably witchcraft, because it is not reasonable that pressing a knob on a wall should cause a light in the ceiling to go on. They might then send out a posse of men with weapons to hunt down the offending witch. We do the same when we accuse the person who told this story of lying, or people with skills we don't understand of being charlatans. Some are, but some are not. The reasonable person often is uncomfortable with this uncertainty. When we can and have the funding, we do research. A piece of research was scientifically set up in 1993 in Washington, D.C. It had been hypothesized that meditation could reduce crime, though the local police chief said the only thing that would reduce crime in the summer would be 20 inches of snow. From the 7th of June to the 30th of July, up to 4,000 members of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi organization, that is, people who practice transcendental meditation, all meditated for coherence creation. This was done without informing or interacting with the local population. The crime figures were collected for then and for times before the experiment and were corrected for the weather, daylight, and other factors known to affect the crime rates. It was shown that HRA crimes, which means homicide, rape, and assault, were reduced by up to 23%. Robberies were not affected, and as far as I can find, no one has any theory about this. Some other things were recorded, including the reduction of hospital trauma cases, of emergency psychiatric calls, of accidental deaths, and of complaints against the police. Clearly, something happened. Materialists find themselves uncomfortable with the idea of energy, which is invisible, being the cause of anything, and can become quite forceful in their ridicule. The idea! Our world, however, is not controlled entirely by things we can see or hear, and in some cases not even by things we can measure. This may sound ridiculous to the rational man, but not only is it self-evident, it is commonly experienced. For example, we all respond to memories, we call it nostalgia, but we can't see that energy. Our problem may be that we do not have enough education in quantum physics, which I suspect in time will explain many things that seem mystical to us now. Like the person from the 17th century who knew nothing of electricity, we know nothing of whatever it is that caused that crime rate to drop. At the very least, we should refrain from crying witch. So, back to prayer. Does this just mean begging a person in the sky for the impossible? I saw a silly film recently in which an ordinary man for some reason had to take on God's work. His email inbox filled up with requests. He was overwhelmed with it all, and in the end he highlighted all the prayers and said, "Yes, you can all have what you want." The next day he was in bad trouble because everyone had won the lotto and were getting $17 each and were bombarding him with "that's no good" messages. Of course, that sort of prayer doesn't work. We all knew that. If those prayers worked, no one would ever die or get sick. No one would ever be poor. Everyone would get an A for every exam, and there would be no hunger or war in the world. And I would have had to choose a different career. There are examples in many religions of group prayer, often using repetitive and very familiar forms of words. The closest to home is the rosary. I have no personal experience of this, but it seems possible that the chanting in unison of words that are very familiar has a hypnotizing effect, bringing on, at the very least, a feeling of belonging, and maybe of calm or peace. The trouble with the hypnosis side of this is that once the congregation is nicely entranced, any old rubbish can be put into their heads by the priests or pastors or mullahs, but that is taking a step away from the value of prayer, so is a subject for another day. But what if we pray more sensibly or less selfishly? We can't prevent our friend dying from the fatal disease they've been diagnosed with. But what if we ask for them to have emotional strength or mental peace to deal with their ordeal? How about we send cheering energies? I have no idea how to do this personally, so I just behave as though there's someone listening who can do it for me. Just frame the intention in your mind or heart, add a please send thought, and that's it sorted. If there's no one there to help us, at least we have done no harm. The Quakers, I believe, hold people in light, which seems to me to be the same thing as sending good energies. And for ourselves, it may not be on the cards that you will win the lotto, so praying for it will produce no money. But how about asking for skill or assistance in managing the money you do have better? If you're facing into a difficult exam, how about asking not to pass or get honours, but that you will have a clear mind on the day and be able to access all your knowledge without panic? If you don't think this is prayer in the sense that you're not addressing a supreme being, that's fine. Maybe just articulating an intent within your own mind is enough to start tiny changes that could snowball into a useful result. For example, saying grace before meals. What is that for? God isn't interested. The farmers can't hear you, but you can. So maybe if, instead of tucking into your food immediately, you took a couple of seconds to settle at the table and consciously appreciate what you're about to eat, your body would thank you. Maybe less heartburn or fewer hiccups. Your mind would thank you as you are putting aside the day's problems. And your soul will thank you as you are becoming truly present. This is the mindfulness that is having its turn of being popular. Maybe it is just another form of prayer. It is possible that prayer works entirely within our own mind. Please make me calm during the interview tomorrow becomes a statement of intent to be calmer. It is for this reason that worry has been defined as a prayer for what you don't want, the worrier's system confirming for them that the bad outcome is a strong possibility. They are wearing the negative glasses mentioned in my reading earlier. We should all decide to look out through the positive, rose-coloured ones. I believe that we've agreed before we come into this life that certain things will and will not happen. This is why I say that winning money may not be on the cards for you, so there's no point in praying for it. But there are many less dramatic things that are not fixed in advance. Your attitude to adversity, how you react to circumstances, whether you are able to forgive. These are all things for which it may be worth praying. And even the much-mocked requests for parking spaces, the universe, whatever that is, doesn't care if you can park conveniently or not, so has no reason to refuse you, so why not ask? After all, as the bard had Hamlet say, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. And moving from the arts to the sciences, Albert Einstein's words may be an encouragement to us to keep praying, whatever we mean by that. He said, "The most beautiful experience we can have is the mysterious. It is the fundamental emotion that stands at the cradle of true art and true science. Whoever does not know it and can no longer wonder, no longer marvel, is as good as dead, and his eyes are dimmed." Amen.